In this episode of the Smart City Podcast, I had a great conversation with Alvaro Maz. He's from Code for Australia. Now, this isn't about coding necessarily. It's about using technology to empower people to solve real problems, which I love. So we discuss a lot of things, including the changing ways of work and the importance of creating exciting and interesting projects to attract the talent that you need or that you want to keep moving forward. And also about solving some of those boring inefficiencies, which, you know, I'm so passionate about. So as always, I hope you enjoy listening to this episode as much as I enjoyed making it.
It's the Smart City Podcast, whoa, with Smart City experts, here we go. Connecting smart technology, both big and small. Smart cities are making life better for all. Big data, emerging trends, self-driving cars and more. The Smart City Podcast is what you're looking for.
Hello, how are you today?
Great, great. It's a beautiful sunny day in Melbourne, which is always a positive thing.
So good. Let's jump straight in. And can you tell us a little bit about your background and what you're passionate about?
Sure. So I studied international relations, philosophy, and urban planning, none of which I practice or have ever practiced.
Excellent.
A lot of people have done in their careers. I've sort of fell into the world of kind of like technology and particularly around empowering people to do things differently using technology, which is what I do most of the time through Code for Australia and a bunch of other things that I have on the side.
Excellent. So, Alvaro, tell us what sparked your interest in this space.
So I have a perhaps naive view or naive slash pessimistic view that there's a lot of talent and a lot of experience that is not being used at the moment because of the way that we've constructed our society. So work allows you to do X, Y, and Z, but that talent and that experience that you bring could easily be applied to solving other problems. So we find that there's lots of people with amazing talent and experience doing stuff that it's not really using their talent and experience. Mm-hmm. So in my work, what I try to do is to open up opportunities for people to use that talent on things that matter. And I guess that definition is the things that matter is up to a thing that I've come up with, which is mostly civic issues.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So you are on the Smart City Podcast. So let's talk smart city. And what do you think a smart city is to you?
So one of the things that I try to, that I think about when I hear smart cities is like, there's a lot of buzzwordy things that you can apply to it, which is like the new technologies that happen that, that you can apply for better parking sensors and, or you can blockchain and assets that a council may own. So then there's a clear record of about things. But what I ultimately think that a smart city is, it's a city that is inclusive, that is sustainable, and that it evolves with the population. So as the city changes, so should the population, and so should those things that happen in between the infrastructure and the people that live in it.
Yeah, definitely. So why do you think that this concept is so important?
I think that it's I guess, depends on, like, I would say that there's, just like any other term, there's no clear definition of what people think a smart city is. In the way that I think about it, I think it's important because we've always got to be supporting the evolvement of the things that we do. So if you sit on your job for more than 5 years and nothing has changed and you can go on a holiday for 2 months, that says something about the work that you're doing because it hasn't evolved and it's not asking you any new skills, any to respond to new people. It's something that is probably being moving to a different direction. So I think we should always be pushing for changing things and helping things evolve as just society evolves as well.
Yeah, definitely. So how do you think that Australia is kind of embracing this concept, this smart city concept?
Unfortunately, what I think that is happening in Australia, with particularly around smart cities, is that there's a lot of buzzwords around it. And one of the buzzwords that I've heard the most is like, let's IoT the city, or like everything IoT. And whilst creating a lot more visibility about things can create a lot of opportunities, we're not looking at what are the problems that we're trying to solve and applying the right technology or the right processes and tools to solve that. So, yeah, lots of buzzwords, very unclear definitions of what that means. And the other thing that I would say is that we're treating smart cities as a siloed thing, as in a council may do rates, roads, and rubbish, and have a smart cities thing on the side, which is not built into the like the big infrastructure of what council does. So if we're going to be doing something seriously, and if smart cities or whatever sort of term you're interested in putting around it, it needs to be common practice, and it needs to be embedded into the everyday practice of everyone, not only the people that work in industry and government on smart cities, but also citizens.
Yeah, definitely. So tell me about Code for Australia.
So we're a non-profit part of a global thing called Code for All. So there's lots of other Code for Country programs. What we believe is that technology can open up opportunities to meaningfully impact the public sphere, and like highlighting and putting involved a meaningful part, because what we have seen or what exists at the moment of providing input into the public sphere, you have voting on one side that gets you a sausage every 3 years. Or you have becoming a public servant, which unfortunately most of the jobs that exist within public service are not yet attracting the people that like big companies with like lots of cool toys and lots of autonomy and lots of flexibility attract. So what we do is create opportunities for those people that have lots of talent to go into government and solve an issue or an opportunity that a government agency that is interested in exploring. For example, we worked last year with the Department of Corrections in Victoria to help people on probations connect better with their community and their case manager, because we found that that was a key component of people getting housed, getting employed, and just having their life together after they've been in trouble. So it's often like technology that is not super sexy, but it's tools and processes that help people that have a lot more at stake than what we do. And it's often where technology is not, where cool and new technology is not applied, but where we think that is a massive, massive need for everyone to create something meaningful.
Yeah, definitely. So what are some of the other projects and things that you're working on right now?
We are working with City of Melbourne. We're looking at how local government can manage their assets completely differently, not only creating a way that they have visibility on all the assets and have a record of what those assets are and what they will be in the future, but looking at how we can change the way that they are managed. So the fact that City of Melbourne manages them today doesn't mean that it needs to happen in the future. Maybe there are other ways that we could do that through partnerships, through citizenship groups, that we can start changing the code of how government and public issues are organized. It is week two of that project, so I can't, that's the vision. I can't say anything else or if it will succeed or not, but it's something that we're giving a go to.
Yeah, that's awesome. So how do you think we can better integrate across the different disciplines, governments, and industries? Like, I think Code for Australia is definitely attempting to help with this, so keen to hear your thoughts.
The very first thing is creating interesting opportunities. So like I said, the reason why big companies are having a lot more success at attracting interesting people is because they're the ones creating the interesting opportunities. And it doesn't mean that interesting opportunities are just lots of money. What we found with Code for Australia is that you can attract super, super mega talented people, and not necessarily with those big wages that big tech companies have. So the very first thing is creating interesting opportunities that have purpose and that have autonomy. So if you, that's what we do, and we've been able to do that with over 60 people in the last couple of years, which is, it's something that it still amazes me that people with that could easily go and get any sort of job, they come here and join and do something that is quite hard do, not only to build the technology that they will be building, but also work in a an environment that it's quite hard. But yeah, so the first thing would be creating interesting opportunities. The other thing that I think that is a totally untapped thing is that future generations are probably going to laugh at the fact that we have ongoing full-time jobs. So the whole notion of like tapping into the opportunity, like, hey, we don't necessarily need to create full-time positions within the organizations that we have. Maybe it could be a 6 or 12 month opportunity for someone to do exchanges. But again, those exchanges need to be something purposeful and something creative, because no one wants to be a graduate, have a graduate position, because you know that you're going to end up doing spreadsheets and boring stuff.
Yeah, definitely. I'm keen to hear more about your thoughts about how work will change in the future. And that's question one. Question two is, will regulation also need to change in order for this to kind of happen?
I'll start with the last one because it's the easy one. My thoughts are yes, of course, the regulations should change. And again, it's not so much that we're, the way that I see it is just evolving. So the world is evolving, cities are evolving, work is evolving, so should all the other things that encompass that. So I say that particularly around our democracy. So it has existed for over, I don't know how many years, but it's still operated in the same manner that it started operating hundreds of years ago. And we need to make that thing evolve. So the laws that encompass that system need to evolve to reflect and represent what is happening today. So legislation, yes, it should change. Future of work in, predictions, I don't know. Like the very first thing that I would say is what I mentioned before. Like our future generations are going to laugh at the fact that we have ongoing full-time jobs. There's going to be a lot of what we're seeing with Code for Australia, which I hope is a trend that will keep growing, is that people will be a lot more interested in doing purposeful, meaningful work. And hopefully money is not an issue for people. I'm also super interested in the whole notion of like decentralizing stuff. So we're starting to see that with a lot of tech companies, how they're coming in and kind of like disrupting the way that traditionally transport accommodation systems have been operating for hundreds of years. And I'm interested in how can we apply that sort of same approach, but looking at empowering those that are like not in a centralized approach. Like, how can we empower those who are using the service to own the benefits of that system?
Yeah, cool. So let's talk about emerging trends. So what do you think people aren't talking about enough?
Yeah, maybe like there's too many trends and too much talking and not so much doing. Like,
yep.
Yeah, like great that you have a super cool interest in blockchain, in IoT, in cryptocurrencies, but things need to be fixed. And that situation where we just get excited about new things and start a new program that does innovative projects and leaving behind those things that need to be fixed that are not currently working, particularly kind of like for the stuff that I was mentioning, particularly around government services. There's a ton of stuff that needs to be fixed that because of those trendy things, we don't pay enough attention to them. So that's kind of like a trend. Buzzwords are always fun and exciting. And often one thing that I read ages ago is like insert a new buzzword here. Let's say, for example, innovation. It's like the new teenage sex. Everyone claims to have done it, but the reality is very different. So if you insert blockchain, IoT, innovation, all of those things, is like, great, everyone's excited, but are you actually doing something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. That's really interesting. And I think so true. And I think actually do it. And I really like that you've touched on the boring government stuff, because that's exactly what I'm interested in. You know, my background is in transport. So connected and autonomous vehicles, yes, they're very exciting and sexy. But for me, the actual vehicle itself being self-driving is exciting, but what's more fundamental is that connected piece, so laying the foundations. And then you kind of scale that back again. Okay, why are we talking about autonomous vehicles that, you know, cost a lot of money and are only going to, and who are they going to benefit and all that kind of stuff, when, you know, we need to be looking at the brown money, so the money that's just being wasted on inefficient processes, for example, collecting, you know, garbage bins that aren't full, or something along those lines. And rather than just adding another fun toy on top of that, actually, because they seem to be untouchable. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. That's what I find. Like, oh, you know, that's how we've always done it, so we'll just keep doing it like this. But just questioning that and going, well, why? Or maybe it is the most efficient way to do it, but do we know that? Have we looked at the data? Do we have the data to actually be able to look at those things?
Totally. Yeah. Like, there's so much. We've estimated that around over 90% of government IT projects over $10 million fail. So, and again, this is not an IoT system that is trying to create some sort of visualization of where pedestrians are going and flying. It's stuff that, like, people, my health record, and like people trying to get housing onto the housing register, people trying to get into a job with a training program that the Department of Employment decides to build. Like, that sort of stuff really impacts people who have a lot more at stake than what we do. And if we were able to move the needle 5 degrees, it's a massive thing that can save hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars.
That's so true. And thinking about, I hadn't thought about it like that before, but kind of definitely aligns with my thinking. Those things that, people, one person or a group of people have a lot at stake if this thing doesn't work, like training or, you know, to get employment and that kind of thing. And actually really focusing our energy in improving that, because there's no reason in this day and age why those things should be clunky, why you should have to wait in line for, you know, hours or even minutes to kind of, you know, see somebody to, get a payment released or something like that. That's where we really should focus a lot of energy, because I think we can get a lot of, not quick wins, but really rich kind of wins with not a lot of this sexy, brand new, waiting for this advanced technology to solve all our problems.
Totally.
Well, it's been so awesome to chat with you today, and I thanks so much for coming on to the podcast, and I wish you all the best, and I'm looking forward to chatting with you more, because I'm really interested in what you guys are doing and how, I mean, I would like to learn to code myself just for funsies.
I've got no idea how to code, so you don't necessarily have to code to do this sort of stuff. Like, cool. What I like to say is that this stuff is going to take us all, and it's going to take us wherever. But then that's the point. Like, we are in this planet to solve stuff that makes us better, and ideally, we want all of us to be doing that.
Yeah, definitely. So bringing, you know, all those different diverse backgrounds in to create, you know, the real smart city without the buzzword, kind of hyping it up.
That's it.
Awesome. Well, I only have one last question, which is, how can people connect with you?
Probably Twitter could be a good thing. So at Alvaro Maz, or Slack. The Code for Australia Slack is open. So if you go to codeforaustralia.org, you can send an invite to yourself. And then, you've used Slack before, there's lots of channels.
Awesome. I'll put all the links in the show notes so people can click away. Thanks so much for coming onto the Smart City Podcast.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
It's the Smart City Podcast. Whoa.
Thanks so much for listening to the Smart City Podcast. Show notes for this episode and all other episodes can be found at thesmartcitypodcast.com. If you have any questions or comments for me or any of my guests, connect with me via email, zoe@thesmartcitypodcast.com, or via the socials. I'm on Twitter and Facebook at @smartcitypod. As always, I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode as much as I enjoyed making it.
Smart City Podcast is what you're looking for.